All right. Tov, we've a lot to do. We had a very important idea that we were discussing at the end of last week's class that we were left off with last time, and we need to elaborate on because it's an extremely important idea, both philosophically, theologically, when it comes to understanding the novel approach of Chassidus, really the novel approach of the Baal Shem Tov, and not just as an abstract concept, but as Rav Soloveitchik himself said, it becomes the pillar of fire that's supposed to lead us in our lives. And this idea, which as we posed it last week, how exactly to look at the piece of chicken on one's plate, that of course being a metaphor of how to approach physicality in general, that idea is not just an abstract philosophical concept, whether Hasidism or not Hasidism. It's really how one is supposed to live, how we're supposed to live our lives. What's the method we're supposed to live our lives? It's really Rav Soloveitchik is here at the end of chapter 4, before he gets to the second part of the book where he actually discusses halachic man, he really is summing up, this is what we spoke about last week, at the end of chapter 4, he's summing up everything he's done in these past four chapters. He's made this whole approach of different perspectives, different phenomenology, different ways of seeing reality. And it's here at the end of chapter 4 where he really puts it in a, as he himself said, practical, pragmatic, utilitarian approach. How is one supposed to view life? So we left off, if you remember last week, we were discussing, if you guys were asking, they're not here yet, they're probably going to come soon. They were asking exactly how we're supposed to do Lamaisa. And that's what we really need to discuss because, again, it's not just philosophical. It's mamish. You know, most of our lives, an interesting thing. Most of our lives, we're not doing mitzvahs. That's the bottom line. If we take the vast majority of our lives, unless you're mamish learning in Kailil, right? Well, a lot of people learn in Kailil also don't spend the majority of the day doing mitzvahs. But yeah, sorry, I had to take that shot. I had to say it. But unless you're one of those that are really learning in Kailil all day, most of our lives we don't spend actually doing Torah mitzvahs. Most of our lives are being involved with mundane activities, with being involved in the world. And to know how one is supposed to approach that. When I sit down to the piece of chicken on my plate, and again, I'm using that as a metaphor when I go to my office, and so when I do anything in any of the rooms in my home that has to do with physicality, what is, as a religious person, we're here talking homo religiosus. We haven't yet gotten to what Rav Soloveitchik is going to say halachic man's take on this is. But religious man, which is Rav Soloveitchik's term for a chassid, the chassidic approach, which again, he mixes in with Christianity also, it's the general religious approach. As a religious person that believes in transcendence, as a religious person that is sensitive to the mystery of the world, as a religious person that is not content just to view the world as is, as a religious person whose phenomenology, whose perspective on the world is a perspective of looking upwards, of looking towards the heavens, of not being content with the world, of seeing the world as just a glimmer, of wanting God. If I want God, I do have the polarity of existence. I do believe that existence is multi-layered. How do I approach physicality? How am I supposed to do it? So that's why it's so important to get clearly we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem tonight. It's mamash, it's a yesod, it's a foundation, simply put, how to live our lives. How do we live our life? So you remember Rav Soloveitchik said that in this, the ontological duality, the fact that ontologically that there is this duality of existence, that is for religious man a fact that thereby brings about two radically different approaches. Right? I'm just summarizing what we did last week. The first approach, or more correctly stated, the first response to that ontological dualism, the first response is a response of asceticism, shunning the world, extricating oneself from existence by completely turning oneself off from it, not taking part in it. That was the first approach. And we spoke about it, that we find such a thing in Judaism, etc., as we spoke about the past 2 weeks. The second thing Rav Soloveitchik said, there's another approach. And that's the approach that he said on page 15, what he called the approach of affirmation. Approach of affirmation of the world and approval of reality. Right, let's just chazar over the Lashon of Rav Soloveitchik at the bottom, page 15. At other times, this motif of the duality assume an extreme form of affirmation of the world and approval of reality. In other words, you go home, you go to your office, you're involved with the world, approval of reality, affirmation of existence. I'm not running away from here. No, not only am I not running away, approval of reality. Approval of reality. But how does that make sense? I'm a religious person that believes that the world is only this ray and God is transcendent. I'm sensitive to that mystery. I know that there's something way beyond. How could I approve of reality? How could I affirm the world? So he says, however, let's read inside again, just these two sentences, thank you. It's like the Tzfardei and Mitzrayim, right? Thank you. However, even according, L'chaim, even according to the stance, concrete empirical reality serves, listen, the words are very important, serves only as a springboard from which man may make his plunge into the supernal. Again, empirical reality serves as a springboard from which man may make his plunge in the supernal. The Diet Coke that Ben just brought is a springboard from which man may make his plunge into the supernal. That's the second approach. We don't say, I'm only going to drink water. I'm only going to drink water and not even, you know, Neviot flavored water or mineral water or push a plain tap water. No, I'm going to have my chill Diet Coke. But it's going to be a springboard from which man may take his plunge into the supernal. And the supernal alone is the realm of the object of the religious individual's deepest longing, the goal of his ultimate quest. Yeah, I'm still, the object of my longing is God. So Vasilevich says, but this approach is using the world as a springboard. And you remember we left off last week, what was the question we left off last week? V'yazoy. How? How do you use the physical world as a springboard? How do you do that? And then we pointed out towards the bottom of page 16, the Rav, when he again speaks of this approach as opposed to the ascetic approach, let's look at the last paragraph of the last line of that paragraph. He says, it is of the opinion the latter disagrees, the last three lines, the latter disagrees and is of the opinion this approach holds that only through accepting the yoke of the dominion of empirical reality may we hope to merit a more exalted existence. And we left off by saying, what does Rav Soloveitchik mean to accept the yoke of empirical reality? Seemingly, according to this approach, you're not supposed to look at the world as a yoke. You're not supposed to look at physicality as a yoke, something to bear. You know, when you think of a yoke, you think of like, you know, Old Man River, right? He don't say nothing, but he must know something. Keeps on trudging along, right? It's a yoke. You feel like you're schlepping along. A yoke of dominion of empirical reality. What do you mean a yoke? According to this approach, reality, you're supposed to affirm reality. It's supposed to be a springboard. So here we spoke that Rav Soloveitchik does not explain. He doesn't explain over here. So here we need to fill a little in the blanks. And again, I mentioned to you that the Lashon, his phraseology, is also very troubling. What does it mean, the yoke? I couldn't find the Hebrew one. My Hebrew one is, God knows where it is right now. I couldn't find my Hebrew version, so I did not look at the Hebrew Lashon. But certainly in the English, the phraseology is troubling. So let's explain what's going on over here. Because, of course, Rav Soloveitchik was very much influenced by the writings of Chassidus, so it's important to talk about what Chassidus says about this. Now, I want you to understand, when we learn about the philosophy of Chassidus, when we learn of Teres HaBaal Shem Tov, so I'm going to say something which we spoke about a couple of months ago, and I had to dodge a lot of bullets back then. So I'm just going to touch on it now. This is not the point of tonight's class, so please don't yell and scream and throw tomatoes again. Been there, done that. We did this. We went through this. I'm just going to say it. You don't want to accept it. You don't agree with it. That's fine. That's all right. We could agree to disagree. But Chassidim hold that Teres HaBaal Shem Tov is the ultimate fulfillment of Torah. The Baal Shem Tov and his students was not just another nice vertlach, not just another way of, you know, another approach to understanding Torah. It's not just another approach. It's Pnimius HaTorah, the inner essence of Torah. I'll just remind you that Ramatullah Chernobler wouldn't use a vessel that was made before the Baal Shem Tov came to the world. Because he said, until then was Toyu. Until the Baal Shem Tov came to the world was in a state of Toyu. He wouldn't use furniture and stuff, anything that was created, that was made, before the Baal Shem Tov came to the world. Because it was Toyu. Now, before the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, you had good Jews. Chmein Marshal was pretty, he was pretty frum, right? Marshal was good. Rashi, Chmein. But whatever that means, the Baal Shem Tov and his students, they said that this is Teres Mashiach. This is the beginning of the revelation of the Torah of Mashiach. the beginning of the revelation of Teres Mashiach, the Torah of the Mashiach. Oh, it was Tohu, it was chaos. Thank you for asking me to translate. It was chaos. It was a state of chaos. There's a Kabbalistic concept called Tohu and Tikkun, which means there's a state of chaos that's called Tohu, that precedes Tikkun, which is rectifying the chaos, which is a state of rectification. Like we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the very beginning of the Torah, there's first Tohu Vavohu, there's chaos in the void, and then begins creation. And the Kabbalah teaches that as creation proceeds, there's always this continuous Tikkun Olam, this continuous two-step dance of Tohu and Tikkun, chaos and rectification. In our lives, this like that. In our daily life, we see that there's Tohu and Tikkun, right? Therefore, once we understand that the Baal Shem Tov and his students were revealing what Mashiach is going to reveal in totality, the Baal Shem Tov and his students were giving a taste of, we understand that when we want to get what Chassidus is saying, the best way to appreciate the novelty of Chassidus is to compare it and contrast it to the way Torah was understood before Chassidus. It's one of the more beautiful things to see when you see how things were understood. Again, it's all Torah, Shivim Panim LaTorah. We're not Chas V'Sholem. Chas V'Sholem, even Ramat Tzol Nobler wasn't doubting the veracity of Rashi and the Marsha. Ramat Tzol Nobler was saying that once the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, there's something over here that from now on it's completely different. It's a whole new level of holiness that came to the world. But he wasn't saying that they were any less holy, Chas V'Sholem. But there's a new revelation, a new whole way of understanding Torah. In this sugya that we're learning now, the affirmation of reality and the approval of the world, or as he said, using empirical reality as a springboard from which man make his plunge into the supernal, there was the way that was understood the approach to Gashmias before Chassidus and the approach to Gashmias after Chassidus. This is what Avi Adler was speaking about, if you remember what he was asking last week, and I said we'll get to, because some of the confusion had to do with the way that it was understood, Gashmias was understood before Chassidus and after Chassidus. Let me give you an example. We just had Shavuos, a couple of weeks ago was Shavuos. Yeah? So it's probably the ultimate, the best example of how Judaism differs in its approach to physicality. I mean, Hadvar Matikim, everyone knows this, it's well known, everyone speaks about it. The Judaism says we have to use the physical world also. That we all know. That's not to dispute that we have to use the physical world. That's not what we're talking about here. Right? I just want to make sure that's clear, right? We're saying this isn't asceticism. There is that approach in Judaism. But we're saying Judaism says to use physicality. That's not a chiddush. The Baal Shem Tov didn't come to the world. If anyone says the Baal Shem Tov came to the world to say not to be ascetics, that's not true. That's a misunderstanding and a non-appreciation, not only of the Baal Shem Tov, but of people before. I mean, Judaism always, it was clear that Judaism was about using physicality, right? The question is, what's your mental approach? What should be one's state of mind when one is approaching the physical? When one is partaking of the chicken on the plate? That's the difference. Perfect example. Shavuos, we know the Gemara says in Pesachim. There's a whole debate in the Gemara on the different holidays, the different Yomim Tovim. Should one be davening all day or also eating? Right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Yom Tovim. The Gemara discusses Binan Lachem or Lashem. Is it supposed to be Chag Lashem, a day for God, Chag Lashem, or Lachem, Atzeres Tia Lachem, a day for you, eating and drinking and being merry? Yeah. By the way, Uri Strelitzker, the Sraf from Strelitzk, was known for his davening. That's why he was known as the Sraf, which means the fiery angel. He used to daven like a Sraf. He would daven, he was mamash on fire. They say that every day, it says in the Sraf, that every day when he would go daven every morning, he would kiss his children goodbye, because he was sure that he would die from Klais HaNefesh. Every single morning he would kiss his children, he was sure he was going to die that day from davening, that he wouldn't be able to kate himself a Klais HaNefesh. The kids probably needed some therapy afterwards, but that's besides the point. But it's tzaddikim, you know, you get burned when you're a child of a tzaddik. But that was the Sraf, the Strelitzker. That's the type of davening that he davened every single day. And the Strelitzker one time was davening on Yontiv. And the Gemara says that Yontiv has to be, the maskon of the Gemara is chatzi lashem, chatzi lachem. Half to God, half to you. So the Uri Strelitzker finished davening. It was like 2 p.m. And he said, okay, we already did the chatzi lachem. We did the chatzi lachem. I did the half that's for us. Now let's do the chatzi lashem and go eat. And that's mamash what we're going to be discussing tonight. That's the Chiddush of Chassidus. What does Rashi say? The Gemara over there says about Shavuos that kule alma meidim debatzeres beina nami lachem. The Gemara there in Pesachim says that even though when it comes to other holidays, there might be a dispute as to whether you have to partake in physical or not, whether you have to eat or not, whether the focus should be ruchnias or also do gashmis. There's a dispute when it comes to the other yomim tovim. But atzeres Shavuos, kule alma meidim debina nami lachem. Everyone agrees you have to also eat. Why? So Rashi says, Rashi, why is Shavuos, everyone agrees you have to have a Suda, you have to feast? Rashi says, because one has to show that I'm happy that I got the Torah. One has to have a feast because that way you show that you're happy you received the Torah. Imagine you were sitting there that day with a verkvetched face like on Yom Kippur, right? The day of Shavuos, the day that we got the Torah, we'd be sitting there, you know, with headaches and you know, sitting on the Gemara or whatever, and not sitting and drinking and being mesameach. We wouldn't be showing that we're happy with the Torah. So Rashi says, we have to show that we're happy with the Torah. But the Svarim say, and I'm sure you all know this, the Svarim say that there's a deeper pshat. Not only like Rashi saying, to show that we're happy with the Torah, but rather what? No. That the Torah, the giving of the Torah, is all about not ruchnias, but gashmias. When do you see that the Torah reaches its fulfillment? When you're dafke involved in gashmias. In other words, the purpose of the Torah is not davening. The purpose of the Torah is not to daven. When you daven during the day, and then you go to work, or you go to eat, which point are you doing the ultimate purpose for which you were created? Not when you daven. Chassidus says, you need to daven in order to be able to eat properly. You need to daven shachris so that when you go to work, you do it the right way. But it's when you're going to work is what you're really doing, what you came down to the world for. That's exactly, and if we were created to daven, by the way, this is where Rebbe spoke about Shabbos by the Shkafashir, right? When he spoke about going to being in camp and then coming back home, the neshama coming down to the world, this is mamash the same thing. Going to work every day, you have to understand, you're in shul in the morning. This is the way you're supposed to feel when you're in shul in the morning. You come and you learn, you spend your hour learning, you daven, and then when you walk out of shul and go to work, or even go eat breakfast, you're supposed to feel like a me'ain, a taste of what the soul felt like when it came down to the world. You have to tear yourself away from shul, and now do your shlichas, do your job, the mission you were sent to bring God to your frosted flakes, to draw God's light down to your cubicle. It's your soul going down to the world all over again. So the purpose for which Torah was given was lachem, was for the food, was to live the Jewish house the way that a Jewish house is supposed to be. So it's deeper than the way that Rashi explains it. And you all understand that this idea is found, it's found in Chazal seemingly all over the place, the idea of using gashmias. The idea of using gashmias is found all over. And again, you all know that's what Judaism, that probably there's no better paradigm shift that really shows the paradigm shift of Judaism when it comes to its approach to gashmias from the fact that the Kohen Gadol, right? The Kohen Gadol, which is our, I don't want to say Pope, Havdil Elef Avdolis, yeah? But the Kohen Gadol, who is our ultimate Jew, the holiest of all Jews, to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was just in Daf Yomi. We had whole sugis about it, right, in the beginning of Yuma, that we have to go through. You see Chazal at their finest when they get into that Tanai, right? I've had to make sure he's married in Yom Kippur. Had to make sure, how do we make sure that, what if she dies? It's only Jewish people could ask such a question, right? What if she dies? How do we make sure that he should be married? And as we go, all pilpulim to make sure that he's married. But the bottom line, after all the pilpulim, is that the Kohen Gadol can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim if he's not married. There's no better example of what Judaism, the way Judaism, the Torah says, to approach the Gashmis, that it's not a bidyeved. And you all also know, I'm sure you're familiar with that, what the Chazal say, that today we don't have an altar. We don't have a Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the altar in the temple, what was the purpose of the altar in the temple? Bringing animals up on the altar. What was that all about? What's with bringing the animals on the altar? Again, the example of that the purpose is to bring the physical world and bring it into Hashem. And we bring, you know, on the altar went inanimate, vegetative, and animals. Right? Inanimate was the salt. vegetative was the menachis, was the oil and the flour, and there were animals that were brought. All of the world, all of reality was brought, and it was medab, it was humans, the kohanim that would actually ascend on the altar to bring these sacrifices to God. So all of reality was ascending on that fire on the altar. And Chazal say, you all know, Vayadaber alai, zeh shulchan ashalifnei Hashem, Chazal say, today, what's machaper, what atones for us? Today, how do we make the physical world ascend to God? The table, what we eat. That's the way to make the physical world to ascend to Hashem. And by the way, if anyone here has not learned, anyone when a person is married, if you've never learned the Zohar, you should learn the Sefer Reishis Chochma, Shara Kedusha, chapter 16 and 17. If you've never seen Reishis Chochma, Shara Kedusha, chapter 16 and 17, and see the pieces from the Zohar that's brought explaining what marital life is, if you've not seen that, you've never seen what it means uniting the physical world with God. It's unbelievable the way that it speaks about mamish avodas Hashem. What I want to do with you now is so we have that idea in Judaism. We have that idea throughout Judaism, using the physical to Hashem. But what we have not yet explained is what does it mean to use it as a springboard to the supernal? Now, we mentioned that everyone knows that the Baal Shem Tov came to the world. One of the ideas that the Baal Shem Tov was Mechadesh, and it's very well known, that the Baal Shem Tov was Mechadesh, expanding the domain of service of God, to use the physical to serve Hashem. Now again, seemingly this idea is found before the Baal Shem Tov. So what exactly is the Baal Shem Tov's Chiddush? We just went through a whole list of things. The table, when it comes to Shavuos, Nazir is a Chayter, we've spoken about a couple of times. What exactly is the Baal Shem Tov's Chiddush about using physicality for Hashem? So I want to read to you the Rambam. Because really the Rambam says it too. In Hilchas Deis Paragimel, the Rambam in Hilchas Deis, you know, is in the beginning, the first book of the Rambam, the Mada, the first of the 14 books of Mishnah Torah, is Hilchas Deis. Hilchas Deis means book of opinions, or book of opinions is not a good translation of Deis. Huh? Not advices. Deis is like Hashkafis. How would you translate Hashkafis? What the Rambam means by Deis is Hashkafis. Outlook, right? The laws of outlook, proper outlooks. That's what the Rambam is really saying over here. So the Rambam really speaks about this idea. He speaks about this idea already. And by the way, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch also, in Siman Reish Lamed Vav. What the Rambam says is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So before we see the Rambam, forget the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Anyone remember where it says it in Chazal Beferish to use the physical to serve Hashem? Who remembers? Where did it say in Chazal Beferish? Pirkei Avos. V'chol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim. Chazal say. So what's the Baal Shem Tov's Chiddush? What's the Baal Shem Tov's Chiddush to use the physical to serve God? V'chol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim. Right? It's Chazal. By the way, anyone remember a pasuk that says the same thing before Pirkei Avos? Pasuk in Mishlei. B'chol drachecha Da'ehu, know God in all your ways. So Shlomo Melech already said, "B'chol derchecha da'ehu." So what's the Baal Shem Tov? Chassidus came and said to use the physical to serve Hashem. It's a pasuk. It's a mission. Pirkei Avos. It's a Rambam. It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's what all Judaism is always about. Shalom Aleichem. What's the Baal Shem Tov's chiddush? So I want to read to you the Rambam. Listen to the words of the Rambam, and then because if we get this, this contrast. It's gevaldik. It's very geschmack to get this. So listen to the way the Rambam explains Chol Masech L'Shem Hashem Shemaim and B'chol Duchecha Deo. Listen to the Rambam. Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. I'm going to read it directly into the English. A person must direct all his actions in order to know God. Listen to that. Tzarech Ha'odim Shiachaven Kol Maisav Kulam Kedei Leidas Hashem Baruch Hu. Wow, that's pretty, sounds pretty Hasidic, no? Sounds like Chassidus is saying. Listen again. Tzorech ha'odom shi'chaven kol ma'isav kulam. A person has to direct all his actions kidei leidas Hashem baruch hu bilvad, only to know God. Okay, so he's saying use all gashes, whatever you're doing, serve Hashem. And then Rambam continues. And when you sit, and when you stand, and when you speak, Everything should be for this. Ketzad, how? When you go to work or you do any labor to receive a salary, your heart should not be in order to receive the money. Rather, you should do these things in order to be able to provide for your body, eating and drinking, and a nice house, and to be able to get married. And so too, when you eat, and when you drink, and you live with your wife, your heart should not be to do these things in order to take pleasure, in order only to take pleasure. And therefore, you only eat and drink things that taste good. Rather, one's heart should be directed, listen to the Rambam, one's heart should be directed to eat and to drink in order for your body and your limbs to be healthy. I don't think the Rambam would say to go nuts in these health food stores like some people do. You know, it becomes a whole obsession. But you eat and you drink in order to be healthy. Lefikach, therefore, says the Rambam, one should not only eat things that taste good, like a dog and a donkey. The Rambam was a Sephardi, right? Don't eat things that only taste good like a dog and a donkey. Rather, one should eat things that are healthy for him, whether they're bitter or sweet. And don't eat things that are bad for the body, even though they taste good. Okay, and then the Rambam goes into different specifics about when to eat hot things, when to eat cold things. Fine. Halacha Gimel. Now, listen again to the Rambam. If one directs oneself according to all this refuah, these medical advice that I gave you, and you put in your heart that your body and your limbs should be whole and strong, and you live, one is together with one's wife in order to have children, and you and your children do your labor, and you labor in order for this, only for yourself, just for yourself, just because you want to be strong, just because you want to have children, that's not good enough. Rather, you should look, your heart should be focused, that your body should be whole. Gufei sholem, chazak, why? In order, shiktei nafsha yishara ladasas Hashem. You have to eat, and you have to drink, and go to work, and be involved in the physical world, in order to know God. Because one cannot learn wisdom if one is sick, or if one of his limbs are hurting. And put into your heart that you should have children, not just because you want children, because maybe he'll be a chacham, but God will be Yisrael. Now, here comes the punchline. You ready? Tell me this doesn't sound like chassidus. Nimtza hamahaleich b'derech zu kol yomav kulon oivir es Hashem tomid. The Rambam just went through all of one's material preoccupations. The Rambam essentially went through each of the different houses, each of the different rooms of the house, one after the other. He got very specific with all the physical things a person is involved in. And he said that you shouldn't do them just for yourself, just for your selfish needs, to be strong and healthy, to do it in order to serve Hashem. To do it in order to serve Hashem. And says the Rambam, Nimtza comes out, Hamahalich b'derech zu kol yomav kulon oivir es Hashem tam. You're always serving Hashem. Even when you're doing business, and even when you're with one, when a married couple is together. Why? Because your machshava in everything is in order to be able to do physical things, in order that the body should be full to serve Hashem. You're doing everything in order that the body should be healthy to serve Hashem. And therefore the Rambam says, listen to this, even when you're afilu b'shashu yoshem, even when you're sleeping. Imagine serving Hashem when you're sleeping. Do we serve Hashem when we're sleeping? That would be nice. A lot of us would be very good at that. We would excel at avodas Hashem, right? Serve Hashem when you're sleeping. How do you serve Hashem when you're sleeping? Even when you're sleeping, im yoshein ladev, if you go to sleep in order that your das, you should have a ruga cup, a calm mind, and your body should be alert in order that you shouldn't get sick, and there should be able to serve Hashem. Therefore, your sleep, nimtza sheina sholei avayda l'makom baruch hu, your sleep becomes a service of God. Your sleep becomes serving Hashem. Now, here comes the Rambam, like we said before, v'al inyan zetzivu chachamim, says the Rambam, I'm not making this up. The Rambam is saying, that I'm saying this radical idea. The Rambam himself is saying that I'm radically changing a perspective. Hilchas Deis. I'm telling you a whole new way of looking at the world. We don't do asceticism, the Rambam says. Rather, I'm teaching you a way to make your eating and your drinking and your married life and your work and your sleep Nimsa oivir Hashem tamid. You could always be serving Hashem. And says the Rambam, you know, where am I getting this from? The Rambam says, where do I get this radically revolutionary idea from? So the Rambam says, Val inyan zetzivu chachamim v'amru, kol masecha yu l'shem shamayim. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And the Rambam says, and it's not just a Mishnah, it's a pasuk. V'hu sh'amr shleime b'chachmasai, b'chol drachecha da'eyu. To know God in all your ways. And this Rambam is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Lamed Vav. A whole Simen in Shulchan Aruch with these words of the Rambam. So I'm asking you, what's the Baal Shem Tov's Chiddush about using Gashmis, where the Chassidus came and said to use Gashmis to serve Hashem? What possibly more do you need than what the Rambam just said? I'm fielding answers. I'm curious to know if anyone else, yeah, Josh. Exactly. Thank you, Josh. Good. I see he's an Eish Kodesh Bachar over here. Good. Exactly. The Rambam does not... It's Faker. In this, you see, in this Rambam, you exactly see what the Chiddush of Chassidus is. You know what the Rambam's approach is? The Rambam... Let's look at the Rav's Lashon again. The Rambam accepts the yoke of the dominion of empirical reality. Here of Salvechik, La'aniyas Daiti, on page 16 he's quoting the Rambam, on page 15 he's talking Chassidus. You almost see like the Rav, everyone knows Rav Salvechik himself had this, you know, duality of a brisker with his, you know, the Chabad impulses that were, you know, stooped into him when he was a little kid, and he always lived in those two worlds. So you see, that's between page 15 and 16, and La'aniyas Daiti. In page 16 he's talking Rambam, and page 15 he's talking Chassidus. The Rambam doesn't say you're serving God with Gashmias. That's not what he's saying. Exactly like Josh says. The Rambam is saying, you could serve, the Rambam is saying, you know what? You could be a person that's always serving God. Always serving God. How? If you have in mind that you're doing Gashmias in order to be able to serve Hashem later, in order to be able to daven, in order to be able to learn, I'm doing A to reach B. The Rambam is saying, you know, b'chol masecha, and really that's l'chayr the lashon, b'chol masecha, l'shem shamayim. Oh, very good. Okay, good. Good, 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 good. So l'chayr, that's the lashon. The Rebbe makes that distinction, by the way. But I haven't seen that before Lubavitcher Rebbe, I haven't seen that distinction. But the Rebbe actually says that exactly these two steps are inherent in that. But the Rambam says, that's l'chayr, b'chol masecha, l'shem shamayim. What does l'shem shamayim mean? It's masecha, it's your cubicle at work, it's your chicken on the plate. It's masecha, right? It is masecha. But it should be l'shem shamayim. You're doing it in order to later be able to serve Hashem. That's what the Rambam is saying. Yeah?
The Rambam does put the word tamid, which means that even when you're engaged in physical activity, you haven't stopped.
You're oivir es Hashem tamid. He's saying lashon, not just tamid. Oivir es Hashem tamid. I'm strengthening what you're saying. He doesn't just say tamid. He says oivir es Hashem tamid. 100%. The Rambam is being a radical. Don't forget, the Rambam is negating the ascetics. There were many ascetics in Judaism back then too, and the Rambam is negating them. He's being a radical. The Rambam. Oivir es Hashem tamid. But how are you being oivir es Hashem tamid? How? Or like David said, l'chayr b'chol drachecha de'eyu, l'chayr means to know God in all your ways. That means it's not just masecha l'shem shemaim, that I'm doing A to reach B. L'chayr b'chol drachecha de'eyu, to know God in all your ways, means that you're knowing God in all your ways. Right? So how would the Rambam explain that? How is the Rambam explaining? How you oivid es Hashem tamid? What'd the Rambam say?
So he's saying if it leads to...
Right. If your kavana now, if you go shopping for your wife, right? You're going shopping for your wife. You're doing something now for her. You're doing something for her. Right now you're doing something for her. You're right now doing something to make her happy. When you go to work, you're not directly doing something l'chayr for her. You're going to work. But if you're doing it that in order you should be able to make money to make her comfortable, then it's l'shem shamayim, right? So the Rambam is saying, I'm doing it now for Hashem. L'shem shemaim, I'm serving God all the time. It's all the time for that connection. But it's not that right now I'm doing something to serve Him. Right now I'm going to work. I'm not going shopping for my wife. I'm going to work. But the point is that I should have the money to be able to support her, right? So it's l'shem. It's that A to B. But I'm not actually going shopping for her, right? So there, so the Rambam is saying, even it's a shem tamid, because when you have in mind that you, and as you're eating the chicken, you're accepting the yoke of a pig, of the dominion of empirical reality, and saying, I'm doing the physical now in order that I should be healthy, in order that I should later be able to serve Hashem, and I should have children that can be tamid chachamim, and I have all the motives, I have all the in the future. But right now I'm doing something that's not avodas Hashem, but that's the purpose of it. So the Rambam says, nimtza avodas Hashem tamid.
So the chiluk between Chassidus and Ram is that by Chassidus, engaging in the physicality itself, notwithstanding what you're doing afterwards, is itself.
So Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov came and said, let me say it again, the Baal Shem Tov came and said, it's not the pshat that you're using the physical in order to later serve Hashem. Chassidus said, what's the lashon that's brought in the Torah is avoda begashmius. Avoda begashmius means that you're serving God while you're being involved in the physical. Now, we didn't get to the how yet, right? But let's get to the what. You're serving God b'chol derchecha de'ehu, in the physical. And that's what the Rav is saying on page 6 and page 15. You're using, that's what he says on page 15, the empirical reality is the springboard from which man may make the plunge to the supernal. Now, that plunge, listen carefully, when it says using empirical reality to make a plunge to the supernal, that doesn't mean you're making the plunge later. It's meaning as you're involved in the physical, you're making a plunge to the supernal. Again, we're going to get to the how. But the idea is that avoid the big ashmias. You know, the Svarm, the Tamid Baal Shem Tov say a very cute way of saying this. Anyone remember, there's a lashon, and anyone that learns Zvachim or Kochim, the laws of Korbanos, yeah? So when it comes to what's called avodas she'ein achrei avoda, there's such a thing of avoda she'ein achrei avoda. There's an avoda that you're doing in order to do something else. You're doing one thing in order to do something else. But avoda she'ein achrei avoda means avoda that the purpose is it itself. It's not a means to an end. It's an end in itself. So the lashon there, and that's like, for instance, when it comes to actually putting things in the mizbeach. Chassidus says, it's not, when you're eating the chicken, it's not that you should be able to daven later. The exact opposite. You ready for this? It's the exact opposite. You know why you daven? So you should eat chicken the right way. The exact opposite. It's not that you're eating and drinking to be able to daven. It's not that you're doing ruchnias, gashmis in order to ruchnias. Pum fakert. All the ruchnias is in order to be able to do gashmias. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. Like we said before, you came down to the world not for the eating and drinking. You came down to the world for the gashmis. That's why your soul descended to the world. And you all understand that this is a radical approach. Now, I don't want to get too much into different Hasidic concepts that's brought, the Kabbalistic concepts, but you should know. I'm just going to say it. If you get it, you get it. If not, not. But you should just know this, okay? The way that, you know, deep Hasidus explains is that Torah and mitzvahs draw down the infinite light of God. Torah and mitzvahs, ruchnias, draw down the infinite light of God. Being involved in gashmias in the right way is connecting to the essence of God, higher than His infinite light. The very atzmus, the essence of God, which is known as the darkness that's higher than light in Chassidus. Chassidus is such a thing as the infinite light of God, but then is what's called helam ha'atzmi, what's called the choshech shel ha'maylam, or the darkness that's higher than light, the essence of God that's above any revelation, you only get to, that's drawn down by doing gashmias the right way. So Chassidus came to the world, and Baal Shem Tov came to the world and said that the redemption of reality, this is the beginning of the Torah of Mashiach, Mashiach is all about when it's going to be revealed that the physical world is one with God. That is what Mashiach is all about. Not the negation of reality, but the redemption of reality. And the Baal Shem Tov said the beginning of that is Torah Sechsidus that came to the world that said, that use the empirical reality as a springboard to the transcendent. That all the davening is in order to be able to eat properly. In order to be able to eat the right way. Fakir, the ruchnias is in order to come to the gashmias. And now let's just take a couple of moments to explain why. Why is that? And they understand that that's a radical idea. By the way, the Ruzhiner, the Heiliger Ruzhiner, Bistrol Ruzhiner, said that you see this idea, this is a very deep thing. The Ruzhiner said that this Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, and this is the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, the Holy Bistrol Ruzhiner said, really it's inherent, because even though the Baal Shem Tov came and revealed things that are a Chiddush, but he found within Torah, it's all hinted to in Torah. So the Ruzhiner said, all the words of serving God in Ruchnius, Torah, Avodah, and Mitzvah, having them the letters Vav Hey. Achila, Shtia, Bia, having them the letters Yud Hey. Yud Hey. And that shows you that Dafka, through the physical Avodas, that is how you come to the very essence of Hashem. Why is that? What's the explanation of what this Baal Shem Tov taught? Let's take a couple minutes to explain why is that. So really, we could understand this idea on three levels. What is it about the physical? What is it about the physical that the Baal Shem Tov came and said that it's not a means to an end? Fakert. All of the ruchnis is to be able to deal with, to be able to approach the physical in the right way. Why? What is it about the physical? Why? What's the explanation? What's the understanding of it? What's the understanding that to find God at the highest level of the essence of what He is specifically, is dafka through the physical? Why? So there's three levels to explain. Let's explain in three different levels of Chassidus, the explanations that Chassidus says. First of all, you all know, if I was to ask you, Torah, which number represents Torah more than any other? Anyone remember from the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Peches, that we just learned, the Shavuos Dikra Gemara? Which number, what do Chazal say, which number is associated with Torah more than any other? No, the number, I mean lower numbers. I mean the number that represents, one number that the Chazal keeps saying is what Torah is about. Three. Gemara on Shabbos, V'rich Rachmana, blessed is God that gave a three-part Torah to a nation made of three. In the third month, by one who is the third from the womb, right? Three-part Torah to a three-part nation, Kohen Levi Yisrael, the third month of Sivan, by Moshe, who is the third, and it keeps saying the number three. You remember in Parshas Bereishis, what day of the week does it say Ki Tov twice? The third day. Three is the secret of the revelation of Hashem's essence. Because the revelations of Hashem's essence is when you put together Ruchnius with Gashmius. Only then do you get to God's essence. The infinite light of God is not the essence of God. You have the infinite light of God and you have the physical world. When you have the three that unites them, the number three is the uniting of them, that's called Laseh Shalom Ba'olam. Like the Rambam says, that Kol HaTorah Nitan Laseh Shalom Ba'olam. That's ultimate shalom, that's peace. I'll give you a very simple example. The famous mashal that's given, when you have the prince that lives close to his father, the king. And the prince that was brought up in the royal city, brought up in the palace, he never ventured to the faraway provinces that hate the king and want to rebel against the king. Could you know if the prince is truly royal to his father? When do you know if a prince is really loyal to his father? When do you know that a child is truly loyal to the father? When is loyalty affirmed? When fidelity is proven, how? When one is put in the place of a challenge. Yom Echad, one represents just Hashem. Hashem's infinite light. That's Yom Echad, that's one. Two represents the challenge. The second day of creation doesn't say Ki Tov. Two represents Pirud, separation. Two represents the faraway province. Two represents the challenges that take one away. That's the two. What's the three? When you're able to put those together. Three is the loyalty. Three is when you're able to be in a faraway province and remain loyal to God. Three is when you have challenges to relationship and maintain the connection. That's the three. That's the ultimate shalom bias. Shalom is three, putting the one and the two together. Shalom is that I use that seemed to take me away from the connection. Three means, shalom means, in other words, if there was never a challenge, then there's no need for peace. I hate to quote Shimon Peres, but he's right when he says, shalom osim im oivim. That's true. Peace you could only make with enemies. In that, he's 100% right. He's an idiot for thinking that one day we'll make peace with the Arabs. Those enemies you ain't making peace with, right? In that, he's an idiot. But the general concept that shalom osim im oyvim, peace you make with enemies, that's true. You need a two to get to the three. You understand? You need a challenge to the relationship to be able to come to the peace that's the three. Or as they say, it's worth fighting and arguing for the makeup that happens afterwards, right? The three that comes after the two is that much deeper. The three means that you reach that realm of a challenge and yet you maintain the fidelity, you maintain that loyalty. Yom Shlish Shochba Beiki Toiv means the first day there was just God, God's light. The second day was Pirud. God separated the lower and upper waters. The third day is to put the two together. So the first level of understanding, you know why you have to dafka use Gashmias, is because dafka, by being involved in knowing God in the Gashmias, dafka then is the shalom, is the peace, that peace you make with enemies, that you bring God even to the physical. That's one level of understanding where the Baal Shem Tov said that the empirical reality is the springboard to find God. That's one level. But there's a deeper level. And here we're going to learn an idea from Tanya, which is an extremely deep idea, but it's very beautiful. In Tanya, in chapter 36, the Alter Rebbe says a very fascinating thing. The Alter Rebbe is speaking in chapter 36 exactly about this theme that we're talking about tonight. That he's saying that Tachlis HaKavana B'Briyas HaOlam is the purpose of the creation of all worlds was that God wanted a dwelling place in this physical world, which means to unite God dafka with the physical world. And the Alter Rebbe says, you know why? Listen to this. He says, it can't be, we know that there are a lot of different worlds, but it can't be that the purposes of creation is in the higher spiritual worlds. Listen carefully to the Lashon Alter Rebbe. He says, it can't be that the Kavanah is Olam Esalyonim, the higher spiritual worlds. You know why not? Hoyel v'lehem yirida me'or panaviz barach. Because the upper worlds, no matter how high and spiritual and ethereal they are, hoyel v'lehem yirida me'or panaviz barach. It's still a descent from the light of the countenance of his face. Listen carefully. The upper worlds, no matter how high and spiritual they are, lahem yirida mir panav yizbarach. It's a descent from God's face. So therefore, the purpose is this physical world. Anyone have a question on that? Now it's clear?
Why is the physical world not a
yirida? What do you mean? What's the Alter Rebbe saying? It can't be the purpose of creation is the higher spiritual worlds. Why? Hoyel v'lehem yiridim or panav yizbarach. It's a descent from God's face. So therefore, the purpose is olam haza hagashmi, the physical world. The physical world is not a descent from God.
Must be not.
I mean, MTV is in the physical world, right? They don't have, you know, MTV in Atzilus. Elama must be not. The physical world is not a descent or panav yizbarach. How could you say that? What does that mean? The physical world is not a descent from God. The physical world, one could deny God. Comes up from Tanya, Alter Rebbe saying the upper worlds are a descent from God. The physical world is not a descent from God. It's not a descent from God. People in the physical world deny God. You can live in this world and not believe that there's a God. When you look at this world, it screams, I'm here. Nothing created me. The upper worlds, you know why the upper worlds known as lights, oiris, lights. One of the reasons that's explained, why are the upper worlds known as oiris, lights? You know why? Huh?
Because they look like.
Well, because they're emanations from him, and light, by definition, you always know, has a source. You feel that it's emanating from somewhere. The upper worlds are emanating from God. They're felt to be emanations of God's light. This physical world is complete darkness. So you know what Chassidus says? That's why it's not a descent from God. Because the darkness of this physical world is really the darkness of God's essence that's above light. It's coming from the essence of God that's above any revelation. Let me explain. Chassidus says, How do you have such a thing of an entity, a creation, that feels that it never was created? When you look at the physical, what is interesting about the physical is that when you look at it, it seems like mitziyusei ma'atzmusei, that its existence is of its essence. It seems not to have any source. Look around at you at the physical world. It seems to not have a source. You don't see its source. Now, listen carefully. Everything has to come from God, right? Everything comes from God. We believe everything comes from God. Now, the hergish of mitziyusei ma'atzmusei, that feeling that I have no source, that my source is myself, that I never came from anywhere, that my existence is of my essence, that feeling that we have in this world, which supernal spiritual realm could that come from? The spiritual worlds are all light. They all feel that they're coming, they're emanating from God. So where that feeling that we have of this world, that choshech, that unbelievable darkness of this world, that you could look at childbirth, you could look at the beauty of this world and say, I don't see a source. I feel as if I come from myself. Kan haya, kan nimtza, kan haya. I was always here. Nothing created me. We feel as if we have no source. Where does the feeling come from? It can't come from Atzilus. It can't come from Adam Kadmon, because all those realms feel that they have a source. So where could it come from, the feeling that I have no source? From the only one that has no source, the very essence of God. So Chassidus says, and this is Chassidus says, that it's Dafka, the physical, most dark realm, that feels that it has no source, that its existence is of its essence. That's not a descent from God's face. That is God's face. In other words, Chassidus says the ultimate making the world, connecting the world with God, is taking the darkness of the world, you ready? And not illuminating it. Wait. Listen. The ultimate Chassidus says is taking the darkness of the world and not illuminating it. Let me finish the sentence. Wait.
But
I only got to this point now. Let me just explain this point. Taking the darkness of the world and not illuminating it, but rather what? Changing it to understand that it's the darkness itself is the essence of God. The essence of God is dark. What does it mean, dark? Choshech. It's the choshech that's higher than light. Not a choshech that's an absence of light, but a choshech that's higher than light. Do you know that in a marital relationship, according to Torah, it's supposed to be in dark, right? According to Halacha. You know why that is? Because in a relationship with somebody else, there are a lot of levels that I relate to a person. There are a lot of different, I have this relationship with this part of you, and I like that part of you, and this aspect of your personality, this aspect of your personality I like a little less, this aspect of your personality I like a little more, and then there's this, we relate in this way, and we have this connection, that connection, but then there's the ultimate union when I'm embracing you without any definitions or any revelations or any manifestations. You as is, your darkness. I'm not looking for ways that you're revealing yourself. That's the essence of God that's above any revelation of spiritual worlds. And Chassidus says that the darkness of this world, that feeling that we feel, I have no source, which is atheism, essentially comes from that. The ultimate ability to deny God is that feeling of that we have no source. If you, what are you supposed to, you're supposed to transform that, not illuminate that, but feel that that is the very essence of Hashem that is embracing His face. Taking that feeling of, wow, this physical feels like this piece of chicken, it feels like it has no source. It's just chicken. Where does that come from? Not a tzilus, not a spiritual world. That's coming from the very essence of God. That is a manifestation of the essence of God's face, that He has no source. And you embrace Him dafke in that darkness. Yes. Questions, comments, or witticisms?
Whatever happened to Tzimtzum?
How can you tell me that this is higher if we were mitzamtzing from a higher to a lower?
Okay. Very good question. Hard to answer in 6 minutes, but I will attempt to. Okay, you ready? Ben is asking, how could Chassidus say that it's the darkness of this world that speaks of the darkness of God's essence? Isn't Kabbalah and Chassidus all about, and Rav Soloveitchik said this many times, that there's contractions of his light, Yerida, Tzimtzum, of all the worlds, that the light is continuously getting lower and lower and lower? The answer is, you're right. You ready? If you speak about the objects of the world for what they are, the piece of chicken, if you look at it as a piece of chicken, it's a huge descent in the upper worlds. If you look at the cup of Diet Coke as itself, that one particular detail is a huge descent. It's just a little cup of Diet Coke. We're talking about not the objects for what they are, but the general hergish of Mitzusim Matzmusay. That darkness that all physicality shares, that darkness that the physical world feels, not the objects and stuff. There's a general feeling in physicality that I didn't come from any place. I don't have a source, right? You look at the physical and it doesn't feel like you have a source. That general feeling is touching his face. That general feeling is his essence. That's what we're saying. Symptom is to bring about the particulars of the world. So if I eat the piece of chicken, I'm just enjoying the piece of chicken. You're grabbing onto the piece of chicken, you're grabbing onto a little teeny drop of his light. A teeny, teeny, teeny drop from the ocean. But Chassidus says, if you transform that darkness to darkness, you grab onto that general feeling, and you go through the day, and I say, well, I don't feel I have a source. I don't feel anything. You know what essentially what it's saying? What people complain about all the time. I don't feel inspired. I don't feel lights. I want to be in Be'orot. You know, in Israel today, it's very famous, the mitnachlim and that whole Chavakuk, you know, the Chavakuk genre. Kulam mechapsim orot. Rotzim liot. There's a phrase in Hebrew, omrim, ani rotze liot be'orot. Yeah, the breast of us are, and it's Eliot Barot. I want to be in lights. I want to be inspired. I want to have that feeling. And most of us time, we just krechts and we say, I don't feel anything. I feel nothing. I just see the world. I don't feel any spirituality. And Ruchnius comes Chassidus and says, you know what? The ultimate purpose to creation is dafka that choyshech, that not feeling anything. I don't feel a God. And Chassidus says, where does that darkness come from? It's coming from the essence of God. That general feeling that there's no source is coming from the essence of Hashem. So if you involved in the particulars of Gashmis that come through Tzimtzum, but you embrace that feeling and you understand that that is coming from His essence, who's the only one that doesn't have a source, you're hugging His face. In the darkness, you're unifying with His essence. Yeah.
As the Rav said when you started it, that there were two reactions. One is ascetic, and the other way is this derech that we're trying to understand.
Right.
The inherent danger.
Oh.
In what you just said has shown its face over and over through history, that I'm going to be the most religious person in the world and live the most prust, physical, disgusting life because I'm celebrating that God's in this physical world.
Reb David, have you ever heard of a Jew called the Gaon of Vilna?
Sure. I've heard of him.
You heard of him?
Yeah.
He was a cool cat.
If you like sitting with your feet in ice water.
Right. He had the same question as you, but he didn't phrase it as a question. You know how he phrased it? As an excommunication. Right. As a cherem.
So
the same question. Right. So he had the same issue that you had. And by the way, I have news for you. I don't want to get into a bigger, a more evolutionary thing, because then you'll... Chassidus says when it comes to sins and stuff, I'm not going to go there. But Hamevin Yavin, and that's why they were afraid of Shabtai Tzvi.
Exactly.
100%. So that's why I want to tell you a very important rule, okay? Chachamim hizor b'divreichem. Chazal say, Chachamim, be careful. Shem yilmudu m'divreichem, what's the lashon? Shem yilmudu m'divreichem. Huh? No, Shem yilmudu m'divreichem. Yeah, but last says chait and whatever. Chacham, be careful what you say because from your words could come out terrible things. Halacha v'in Marin Kain. That's when it comes to halacha. Kavachayim in theology. Halacha v'in Marin Kain is be careful when you say halacha. Kavachayim, chacham v'zor b'divreichem means that you could say all sorts of things like. Now, if I were to ask you, historically, what brought about the Shabtai Tzvi movement? In one answer, the Arizal's teachings. What happened to Chacham v'zor b'divreichem? The Arizal taught that there are nitzaitzis and tumah. There are holy sparks and impurity. From that came a Shabtai Tzvi, right? And like you're saying, right? I don't want to say openly what I mean, but if you understand, you do. There are certain tzaddikim that lived in the past years that their words have been misconstrued by his own followers in very terrible ways. One might say, why wasn't he more careful when he spoke about Mashiach, etc.? The answer is, Chacham Hizobah Divreichem is a general rule. But there are certain teachings that have to be brought down to the world that can't go according to that rule. Rav Kook is the same thing. Rav Kook's words was misconstrued terribly. Rav Yashaber, Rav Soloveitchik himself. You know how many students, why are there such debates? Why are there debates in Rav
Soloveitchik are from here?
Exactly. Exactly. The same. All the biggest tzaddikim, I just mentioned the Arizal, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Kook. Those are all big people, and all of them, their words were misconstrued. Because Chacham Ezeb Divreichem can't, there are certain big tzaddikim that they have to say the emes as is. And you want to be an idiot? Be an idiot. Hashem did the same thing. Nasa Adam. Right? Hashem's Nasa Adam. That's right. And what did Chazal say? Haretzi litis yaviyit. Do you want to make a mistake? Go ahead and make a mistake. There are certain things that have to be said. That's the truth. The emes is that the choshech of this world, the gashmis, that feeling, is the ultimate essence of Hashem. Does that mean to eat, drink, and be merry? No. Because you know, we still didn't answer David. Ellie's question from last week. How? The how, we didn't get to. I waved this to you last week, and I'm going to wave it again. The how, we're going to have to get to next week.
May I have one thing? Is the how? Taharot.
What?
The how is taharot. Is to be in the darkness. And to have the darkness and understand and see it and participate in whatever the darkness is that Hashem shows you. But to move into a situation of taharot, which is the mitzvahs, the mikvah, the everything that we do in order to be able to clean ourselves on the inside.
100%.
And clean the mind, clean the heart, clean everything constantly throughout life.
So exactly what you said is exactly the truth. What we're going to do next week is just explain in a little more at length how to do that. How to use the world as that mikvah.
By the way, one thing. I brought you one thing. A small thing?
Yeah, let me just...
It's five pages.
Yeah, I'm sorry.